There is an interesting parable in the Gospels where our Lord talks about a woman who has 10 coins that are not worth very much money each, and she loses one of them, and she lights a candle and sweeps her entire house from top to bottom and searches every nook and cranny to find that one coin, and she keeps looking until she finds it. When we hear of this parable, some of us might wonder why she would go to so much trouble to look for one coin that is worth so little, especially to light a candle to make light, which was something very, very expensive in the time of our Lord. To find that coin doesn't really make sense to us. There are various meanings to this parable, but we can compare the idea to someone who goes to a great amount of effort to obtain something that is worth almost nothing, especially at the cost of something else that is worth much, much more. And here, this reminds us of people who lose heaven in order to go to a great amount of trouble to obtain the goods of this world. This is a very, very common sin. Unfortunately, it's very common even among Catholics today who neglect their spiritual duties and their souls on the pretext that they have to earn a living. And they often, sometimes will even say to the priest that they can't attend Mass on Sundays or holy days of obligation because they have to make money to support themselves. But even then, these people make no attempt to attend Mass instead on any of their days off. And they also neglect their prayer life and their duties of raising their children in the faith and teaching their children their catechism and their prayers on the same pretext. They say they can't say the rosary with their family, they can't teach their children their catechism, all because they have to spend that time making money instead. And this is a terrible deception of the devil. And the devil leads a lot of souls to hell by this trick. On the contrary, someone who spends all of his time pursuing this world and almost no time pursuing God or his salvation is wasting his life, and he will have a miserable life here and an eternity in hell. And someone might say, but why is it so wrong to provide for one's family or do one's duties? This is not a sin. The answer is the cost that the person pays in order to do this, which is the price of his soul. And someone might wonder, but each of the tasks that I do during the day is not a sin. So why would it be a sin for me to do all of these things in one day? The answer is that just because each worldly event or concern that someone engages in by itself is not a sin, it doesn't follow that an entire lifetime devoted to the pursuit of this world alone is not going to be sinful. It's like if someone had 100 glasses of wine on a table, it would not be a sin to drink one of them, and the person could drink any one of those glasses, choose any single one, and drink it without committing a sin. Or maybe even a bit more than that. But just because any one particular glass on the table would not be sinful to consume, it doesn't follow that someone could consume all 100 of those glasses of wine without sinning. There is a difference between doing this or that worldly duty or obligation, which is fine and good, and devoting our entire life to nothing but worldly affairs. And that is the problem, and that is the sin. Or we could say, imagine someone lives an idle life, and he sleeps in every morning, and he wastes his time watching television or in entertainment and amusement, and this is all that person does. Can such a person get to heaven by living like this? Well, we might be able to say that each one of those things considered by itself is not a sin, or some of them maybe not mortally sinful. And even living like this for several days at a time would not be a sin at all if a person is on vacation and he needs legitimate rest, temporarily. But if someone spent years and years of their life living like that, that is a sin. That person is not living according to the teaching of the gospel. He is not doing penance. He is not carrying his cross. He is not doing violence to his lower nature. Such a person is not pursuing the love of God. So in the same way, if someone spends his whole day, every day, at work or running errands, or even in legitimate recreation, if it's something innocent, each one of those things in itself is not a sin, but nevertheless, if someone devotes his entire life to living just for this world and for things like that, to the point that he neglects his soul as a result, and so he never goes to daily mass, or he doesn't attend Sunday mass faithfully, or holy days of obligation, he doesn't do any spiritual reading, and he rarely receives the sacraments, he rarely says his morning and evening prayers, or doesn't say them very well, such a person is not on the path to heaven. That person is in too many occupations of this world at the expense of his soul. And really, it's not the nature of worldly occupations by themselves to prevent us from thinking about God. Rather, it's the number of things that we have to do that interfere in our spiritual life if we let them. If we keep a proper balance between the duties of our state of life and our spiritual duties, we will always be able to be as devout as the saints were. So many of the saints were very busy in this world, in important positions, and they fulfilled their duties very, very well. They were bishops, kings, popes. But they did not allow their duties to prevent them from praying. To warn us about this, our Lord gave us the parable of the people who were invited to the marriage feast of the king, which is a symbol of Holy Communion in a way, and it's also a symbol of heaven. And what did the people say? They said they couldn't come to this feast because one person had a farm that he had just bought. One person had bought a few oxen that he had to try out. Or someone else had a wedding coming up. And those excuses seem valid to us. People do have to inspect the farm that they buy and so on. And yet God was very angry with the people in that parable. The householder who represents God was angry. And he said that in the parable that none of those men that were invited shall taste of my supper, which is equivalent in the parable to being condemned to hell. That's the point of that statement. So God did not consider those excuses to be valid. There could be no valid excuse in any case for someone to refuse to come to the divine banquet of the Holy Eucharist. But the devil understands that this is something that we are very easily deceived by, because it seems like we are doing what we are supposed to do. But we are neglecting God as a result. And the service of God in our prayer life is our number one duty. This is such an easy mistake to make that even the great Moses himself made this mistake in the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus, Moses was occupied running the government of the Jewish people. He was their leader, in a sense, sort of like their king. And he spent all day running the affairs of the government. And the father-in-law of Moses noticed this, and he asked him one day why he was sitting by himself all day long, hearing all the people that came to him with needs and requests from morning till night. And Moses responded, and he said, "The people come to me to seek the judgment of God." And what a holy thing that was, that these people wanted from Moses. And to some extent, Moses had a duty to take care of them. And Moses explained, "When any controversy falleth out among the people, they come to me to judge between them and to show them the precepts of God and his laws." And we can hardly think of an objection to make to such a holy and necessary activity. And yet, the father-in-law of Moses warned him, and he said, "The thing thou dost is not good. Thou art spent with foolish labor, but thou and the people that is with thee. This business is above thy strength, and thou canst not do it alone." And he told Moses to set up a system of judges that could try all of the cases that the population has, so that Moses wouldn't have to do everything himself and to take away time from his prayers. And he explained to Moses why this was necessary. He said, "If thou do this, thou shalt fulfill the commandment of God and shall be able to bear his precepts." So if even Moses couldn't neglect his prayer life to fulfill the obligations of being the leader of the chosen people, How much less can any of us make the excuse to neglect our prayer life, to spend that time in mundane activities for the purposes of our life in this world? The great father of the church, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, wrote a book to Pope Eugenius, who was pope in his lifetime, where he told him how to order his life as pope in order to be a good pope. And in this book, he warned about the problems with someone who doesn't attend to prayer and maintain his own spiritual life with the contemplation of God. St. Bernard said to the Pope, "Do not forget yourself, nor deprive yourself of the time and the quiet necessary to hold communion with your God." St. Bernard warns him. He says, "If you don't observe this, you will be wretched indeed. And it would have been better for you to have remained a poor monk in your monastery instead." And he asks what sort of life it is that consists of giving audiences to strangers all day and writing letters to people all day long, if the Pope doesn't spend some time also communing with God in prayer. And this warning applies to everyone who does the same thing. We can say that we have so many duties of our state of life, our family, our job, our schooling, whatever walk of life we are in. And sometimes we feel like it's the whole world that is resting on our shoulders. But we can never claim to have more serious responsibilities than the Pope himself. And even St. Bernard told the Pope that he couldn't neglect his soul for the things of this world. Even in this case, the government of the church, as holy and necessary as that is. On the contrary, St. Bernard writes in the book that the Pope was obliged in conscience to reduce the number of his occupations and to set aside more time for prayer and meditation and spiritual reading. He said the Pope had to pray for light and grace from God and to communicate with God in order to receive the assistance he needs to do his duties. And the very simple reason for this is that the only business of our lives is the salvation of our souls, the only one that matters. So if even St. Bernard can say that the Pope himself can't save his soul unless he keeps his occupations every day at a limit that will not interfere with his spiritual life, then what about us? And if St. Bernard can say that even the duties of the Pope himself are going to be a curse on his soul if they prevent him from saving his soul, how much more will he condemn us for everything that we do instead of our prayers every day? And that's even talking about our obligations and duties of our state of life. St. Bernard would have an even worse condemnation to give to us if he saw all of our endless idleness and amusements and recreations and television and all sorts of things like that, which very often even leads us into sin. We also have warnings from God about this in the book of Ecclesiasticus, where it says, "My son, meddle not with many matters, and if thou be rich, thou shalt not be free from sin." What this means is not that being rich is a sin in itself, but that if we pursue riches at the expense of our souls, that is a sin. So if we live that sort of life, we have to consider the words of St. Bernard that he said to the Pope, who said, "Let this warning suffice for you so that you will not give yourself always or completely to external occupations, but will keep some of your heart and some of your time to consider the state of your soul." And this is a warning for us as well. On the contrary, someone who is careful to do both his duties and his spiritual obligations, will always be able to think about God when he says his prayers, and who will be able to do the duties of his state of life, even with a certain amount of recollection and frequent prayer. Especially if he tries to raise his mind to God now and then during the day. This is a very important practice that we all have to do. If we want to know how exactly we should arrange our occupations so that we can take care of our temporal duties as well as our spiritual life, all we have to do is look at the simple principle that our Lord gives us in the Gospel. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice." So our Lord says our prayer life must come first before the duties of this world. So we should give the first hour of the day to God and then hear Mass if possible. We should think about God and all of our important actions during the day. We should give the first day of the week, Sunday, to God and all of the holy days as well. We should also come to Mass on our day off on Saturday or whatever day we don't have to work besides Sunday. Just about everyone has 2 days off during the week. And it doesn't take long to come to Mass and honor God and receive the tremendous spiritual and even temporal blessings that God gives to people who honor Him by assisting at the Holy Mass. We should go to confession and communion as often as we can. These are the channels of grace. These are what sanctify us and will get us to heaven. If people would do these things, it would bring God's blessing not only on their souls, but even on their temporal affairs. How many people do we hear who are always complaining that they work so hard and they can hardly ever get ahead? Their money decreases every year. Their salary keeps getting lower and lower at their job. People that owe them money don't pay. They can't pay the people that they owe money to. Their bills keep piling up and they're hardly making it. And we have to think, what is the reason for that? Well, the answer is simple. How do these people manage their affairs? Do they seek God first? Do they observe the order that God told them to observe? To seek first the kingdom of God and His justice. Because only God can bless their labors with prosperity. And if they do seek the kingdom of God first, then they should hear this promise that our Lord gives to people that do that. Our Lord says, all these things shall be added unto you. Meaning the things of this world that are necessary for and useful for us in life, God promises to give them to people who seek God first. But so many people get this completely backwards. They give God the last place and they leave Him out entirely from their lives in order to pursue their occupations in this world instead. So it's no wonder if God doesn't bless their work, since they won't give God what they owe to God. The love and adoration and service that they should be giving God, that's why God doesn't give to them what they need from God. There are numerous examples of saints and holy men who have kept this proper order. There was the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V, who reigned over about half of Europe in the 16th century. And he would never go a single day without spending an entire hour in prayer, in addition to his normal prayers and works of piety. He never skipped his hour of prayer. Whether he was in his palace running his vast empire, or whether he was on campaign in the field in war with his army, or doing anything else, he always did his hour of prayer. And one day he was in his meditation, and an ambassador from another king was brought to talk to him and said he had an emergency. He had to discuss something with him immediately. And Emperor Charles said, "No, I'm in the middle of something that is even more important than that right now. I am talking with God Himself about my soul. I'll get to you when I finish." He would always also keep a coffin in his room so that he could always remember his last end and despise the things of this world as well. That is how we should seek God first. There's another example of the Emperor Theodosius II, who was a Roman emperor in the early days of the empire after the conversion to Christianity. He reigned in the 5th century. And there's a historian of this emperor who tells us that one day in his reign, there was a holy hermit who had spent 40 years in the desert, leading a holy life and practicing all kinds of penance. And one day he had a great desire to know whether there was any servant of God in the entire world who was holier than he, so that he could learn something from that person. And God revealed to this hermit, God said, "Yes, there is someone holier than you, and he is the emperor of Rome, Theodosius II. And the hermit could hardly believe this, and he was amazed that someone who was at the height of earthly power and glory and wealth could be such a great saint. And he went all the way to Constantinople and he asked to speak with the emperor. And the emperor received him with great kindness. He saw he was a hermit. They had something in common. And the hermit asked him how he lived his life. And Theodosius said, "The government of this empire is entrusted to me by God himself. I run it as well as I can for God's honor and glory, and I seek justice in everything. But other than that, God receives the first share of everything by prayer. My food is the cheapest food there is. I chastise my body with a hair shirt. And if I have to go to parties or spectacles in order to be with my people, I pray quietly with God in my heart, even while I'm at this event." And the hermit said, "That is all I need to hear. I guess that answers my question." And he went away full of amazement. This is what it means to seek first the kingdom of God. So surely we can do this to the extent that we can as well. And we have to remember the impressive words of our Lord. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and suffers the loss of his own soul? If we spend all day amassing great wealth and impoverish our soul as a result, we have wasted our lives here, and we will have an eternity of misery. Our soul must be the first and most important object of our care, and be treated more importantly than anything else. Let our worldly affairs deal with themselves as long as we save our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.